الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقي ونور عرشي أفضل الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيبنا وسيدنا وسندنا وشفيعنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتاب المجيد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله نزل أحسن الحديث كتابا متشابها مثانيا تقشعر منه جلود الذين يخشون ربهم ثم تلين جلودهم وقلوبهم إلى ذكر الله ذلك هدى الله يهدي به من يشاء ومن يضلل الله فما له من هاد صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات على محمد وآل محمد I begin in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, and all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, the Unseen, the One who brings everything into existence, and the One who can only be recognized indirectly, never directly, because our hearts cannot comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot contain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the very fact that He has created us is enough reason for us to praise Him, because at the end of all discussions, our existence is the most important thing one can ever discuss. Every other discussion is a matter of polemics, but ultimately our existence is the most important. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to recognize that He is indeed enormously merciful, and our life has to constantly revolve around that appreciation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Blessed Quran, and I'm going to start my presentations basically focusing in these few nights, actually the all the nights of course, but I'm going to focus a lot on the stories and the principles of the Quran as to why the Quran was revealed to mankind. What is the necessity and what is the mission of the Holy Quran? As we know, brothers and sisters, we are blessed to be given a great religion, the religion al-Islam, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He completed this favor upon us, He says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, meaning it's a gift. We have today completed this favor upon you, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum, meaning the religion is complete. Akmaltu, it's complete, it's not an incomplete religion. You will see Islam as a religion is a complete religion. There are no areas that have been left out. In our day-to-day activities, for example, we have Ahkamul Khamsa, the five obligations, that the rules of Islam, the wajib, the haram, mustahab, mubah, and makruh. You notice there's nothing outside of these five. It's a complete religion. Akmaltu lakum dinakum. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي And we have given you a gift. Ni'mah, it's a gift. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا Allah calls it Al-Islam as a religion. It's the religion called Al-Islam. And you will notice that in the 6.8 billion people on earth today, roughly 1.8 billion are Muslims. 5 billion are not Muslims. 5 billion. And we need to discuss, why is it that the majority are non-believers? Historically, majority have been non-believers. Why is it that the believers are a minority? What is the intent of Allah? Why has Allah created a system where the minority is guided? Shouldn't Allah guide everyone? We'll discuss that. In fact, yes, indeed, Allah guides everyone. But there is an obligation, and we need to discuss that obligation. And in this blessed month, as you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the fasting month, Shahru Ramadan, الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ This month of Ramadan, Allah revealed this Quran, this book, the guidelines, the revelation for mankind. أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتِ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ Notice, it's a guidance for mankind. هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ Doesn't say hudan lil mu'minin, it says hudan lin nas. It's a guidance for all of mankind. Hudan lin nas wa bayyinat. It's a clear evidence. You see, wa bayyinat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this month this month is rich with so many activities, rich with so much historical reference, that we need to reflect on those. And of course, the most momentous, of course, is the fact that the Quran was revealed in this month. Hudan linnas, it's a guidance for mankind, it was revealed in this month. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined upon us fasting. And as we know, Shahru Ramadan, this blessed month, is a month of fasting. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. Meaning Allah is saying that it was revealed to your predecessors who were enjoined fasting, and so have you been enjoined fasting. If we take this perspective, revelation of Quran, prophets, fasting, what is the intent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create us? What is the intent? Allah says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرَقُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Can man say that they believe and not be tested? How is it possible? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We tested the predecessors. Why are we not going to test you? And we might ask the question, why do we need to be tested? What is the purpose behind this test? These are all examinations that you and I must conquer. We must understand. For what I'm driving towards in these presentations, is that we have to have a clear purpose in our minds as to why we exist. All of us are purpose-driven. There's no human being who's intelligent that is not purpose-driven. It's impossible. All of us are purpose-driven. Some of our purposes are short-term, some are long-term. And all of us have a mixture of the two. But the one who has the longest-term purpose is the most successful. And that brings in the notion of the eternity and the infinity and the hereafter into the picture. And we'll discuss that. But look at what the Quran says, and then I will get into my discussion. Allah says, Allahu nazzala ahsana al-hadith kitaba. Allah has revealed the best announcement, the Quran, a book. Conformable mutashabiha, meaning it's conformable in all its parts. There are no contradictions. It flows. I give this analogy of the Quran. You notice Quran shifts subject upon subject. It talks about the past, then it speaks about the present, then it speaks of the future, then it speaks of the prophet, and then it speaks of the devil, then it speaks of another person and somebody else. It's constantly shifting. And there's a reason behind that. And the Quran says, but it is conformable. It's conformable in its parts. How? What do you mean by conformable? Mutashabiha. Conformable. What do you mean? Oh Allah, what do you mean by that? Allah wants me to delve deep into this book and say, what is the purpose of a revelation? What is the purpose of a story? Like for example, in the Quran, and we'll discuss this inshallah tomorrow night or the day after, on the story of Yusuf. Just the Surah Yusuf, you know, it is the only story that is complete in the Quran, from beginning to the end in the sense of its moral. It's the most detailed story of a prophet in the Quran. You find, why is Allah telling us this story? Why does Allah even tell us any stories? Why does He tell us of the past? Why does He warn us of the future? It is for us to focus on the purpose of our existence and to aim ourselves in the right direction. This is why Allah tells us stories. So when the Quran is telling me stories, every verse, every letter in that story has a meaning behind it. And it is for you and I to derive its meaning so that we can practice it in our day-to-day lives. Hence, the Quran is a book of guidance. Inna hadha al-Qur'ana yahdi lillati hiya aqwam. How beautiful it is. Indeed, this Quran guides to that which is most upright. Aqwam. وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَبِيرًا. Give the good news to the ones who practice it, the ones who do good, give them the good news that they will have a great reward on the Day of Judgment. So the Quran, why is it giving me stories? You'll find, for example, in the Quran, Allah in Surah Yusuf says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. We're giving you a very good story. The intent of the Quran in giving me stories is precisely to take the moral injunction, the moral principles out of it, and to teach me how to live today as examples. You'll find often when we speak and we say there's a philosophy in Islam that, you know, such and such leads to such and such. You say, brother, please explain further. You'd say, well, let me give you an analogy. Let me give you a story. Oh, I see what you mean by that. Oh, I see. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Why do you get it? Because through stories, we understand the principles. So the Quran is rich with stories, but it is not a storybook. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's conformable, and this is the analogy that I give. Imagine you're on a bird or you're flying, let's say, on a plane, a small aircraft, and now you are moving around the topography of some particular land, a beautiful piece of land, for example, and you look down, you see water. It changes colors. And then you keep moving your eyes, it gets into land, and then it becomes high elevations, you see mountains, and then you see trees, and then your angle shifts again back to, let's say the desert. You're constantly changing the vision, you notice, but it's there conformable. From the water to the land, to the mountain, to the trees, to the skies, you see, to space, they're conformable. Notice, they're very different. I can be an expert, for example, in terrestrial creatures, or I can be an expert in aquatic creatures. There are two different things. Aquatic and terrestrial, meaning land and water creatures, are different. They are very different, but they're conformable. For when my vision looks across, I see the sea and I see the creature in there, and then I look at the mountain and I see a four-legged creature. They're conformable. Why are they conformable? They all intertwine, they work together as one big image. So the Quran is telling me it's conformable. The image is conformable. It means that the entire moral principle of the Quran is conformable. From the beginning to the end, there are no disconnections. And I will discuss that further. Allah says repeating, conformable in various parts, and it repeats. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ. Remind them. Reminding is beneficial. You find Surah Rahman, right? Repetition. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَا. Repetitious, repetitious, repetitious. In Surah Al-Qamar, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. We have made the Quran easy to remember. Who will take heed? Four times the Quran repeats that in one surah. Why does the Quran keep repeating? Because we humans need to be reminded. It's beneficial. We know that practice makes perfect. It's the same principle. Practice is doing it again. That's practice. When you practice, you do it over and over and over. No one says it's boredom to hit the ball into a hoop, right? You say, well, it's practice makes perfect. So repetition gives you greater depth and understanding. So the Quran is saying it's repeating. This is the most interesting part. Allah says, and then when you listen to this Quran, it makes your skin shudder. It makes you, it's like you say you have goosebumps, where you say, oh my God, yes, I felt that moment. I felt like an angel just passed me. And their skins and their hearts become pliant to the remembrance of Allah. أَلَّا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. Remembrance of God makes your heart humble. It makes you pliant. What does it mean, pliant? We'll discuss that. In a simple analogy, we as human beings, Allah mentions in Surah Yusuf, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Your self has a desire to deviate. You have a propensity to become material. أَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. You have a desire to become passionate and material, which is perfectly fine, by the way. Being material, being passionate, having a desire for worldly matter is not wrong. It's not bad. It's a gift of God. But it must be contained and controlled. Just like an animal is a great creature to be used, but if it is not tamed, it becomes dangerous and it becomes destructive. See? So the same thing we find ourselves, the necessity for us, that our self has this enormous desire to deviate. We are material beings, but then the Quran says, control it. If you don't control it, if you don't control your material desires, look around you and see those who have had this voracious appetite to try to conquer the world materially with no spirit in it, and see how dangerous they are. See how vicious they've become. قل سيروا في الأرض فانظر كيف كان عاقبة. Go and see them and see how many generations we destroyed that were too material. Here Allah says the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah is like the reins on an animal. It controls it. There's nothing wrong in moving. There's nothing wrong in wanting the world. There's nothing wrong in our passions. There's nothing wrong in loving someone. There's nothing wrong in wanting money and nice homes. It's not haram. And it's not the discussion in Islam. Those of us who think that in order for us to be good Muslims, we have to be very poor and we have to live in a very state of abjectness, you know, in the sense of total depravity, you know, we have nothing and we're totally poor because this is what Allah wants from us. No. Our members of Prophets and Ahlul Bayt, they were like that, some of them, many of them, as examples for us. And they were in a state sometimes where they had to be that way in order to lead a community. But that's not for us. Let me finish this and then we'll continue. These, Allah said, this is Allah's guidance. And whoever Allah guides, and Allah guides everybody. And this is a whole discussion in itself, that the guidance of Allah is for all of mankind. Not a single human being has not been guided. Look at Surah Al-A'la, my brother recited, Ahmad. سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَصَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Notice the Quran is saying to me, this is a universal verse by the way in the Quran, Surah Al-A'la, where God is talking about the universal principles. As you know, the Quran approaches universal principles, the Quran also approaches specific issues. They're all types of issues that the Quran touches, and given this 5-7 days that we're going to be lecturing, I will touch on a few so that you and I can go back and feel more confident that our religion is so well guided. It is such a guidance for us that we just have to tap into it and our problems will go away if we subject ourselves to it. So here the Quran is approaching a universal principle. سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. Blessed is he who is most high. رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. The Lord who is most high. الَّذِي خَلَقَ. He creates. فَسَوَّى. And makes it complete. That means the entire creation of God, the whole universe, is complete. It's perfect. There's no imperfection in Allah's creation. الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. He makes it complete. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. He gives it destiny. He gives it momentum. He gives it direction. Then he guides it. فَهَدَى. That, and if you and I don't believe in that, and we have doubts, then look at the insect. Notice how insects function. If you notice an ant, you'll notice an ant, even if you try to push it away, it moves in a certain direction, and it needs to do what it's supposed to do. It's so guided that it's capable of doing its job. That, you know, when you ask any scientist who studies any of these creatures, they'll tell you that every limb, every aspect of a creation has been placed to perform a function. This is why science is alive. It's able to dissect what we call causes and effects. And there's a form and a function, and there is a purpose in it. Scientists will give you short-lived purposes, that this thing has this in its body in order for it to achieve that. That's short-term. But still, it's purpose-driven. There is nothing in the universe you will find that is not purpose-driven. So it is purpose driven, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. He gives it destiny and guides it. So if an insect has not been denied that guidance, how can the human race be denied guidance? Doesn't make sense. We are an intelligent creation. What is our purpose in life? I would like to talk about this evening. I am honored to be here, my brothers and sisters, in this blessed month of Ramadan. It's an honor for me to be with you, and I bid you greetings with Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm just going to make it general today. Tomorrow I'll delve into some very interesting perspectives of the Quran that we need to reflect upon. There are lessons, brothers and sisters, that if you and I simply spend time to reflect upon them, it will take us into new directions. But here's the key. There are two key issues I'd like to mention that are extremely important. First and foremost, Allah in Surah Al-Ra'd says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Indeed, Allah does not change the affairs of a community until the community changes themselves first. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us so much. Let me describe one aspect of it. You know, you and I don't deserve to exist. Tell me, what could you possibly have earned or I to deserve to exist? Because the notion of deserving implies pre-existence. We didn't exist. You see? Ahasiban nas, mankind, right? Should we take account of the fact that we all know that we didn't exist? So we don't deserve it. Let's move forward. We exist. This is the rahmah of Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala endowed us with intellect. This brain, intelligence. This is so powerful, brothers and sisters, that the Messenger of Allah has said the following. He said, the most beautiful thing a person possesses is intelligence. Let me give you an analogy. Imagine you go into a room and there is a person who's drop dead gorgeous, good looking. Outwardly, absolutely attractive. So attractive, you just can't keep your eyes off of that person. So you're very attractive. And then there's another person who's sort of quote unquote normal looking within the community. So you're not so attracted to that person. You're more attracted to that other one. Or let's flip it the other way, that other person, based on our standards, let's say in my standards, you know, I like the person to be A, B, C, have certain qualities. The person doesn't have any of those qualities. So therefore, I really don't like them. And those two people are in the room. And you are attracted to the most beautiful looking person. So that's your first phase. That's the material phase, brothers and sisters. That's the world we live in. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Don't be fooled by the glitter of this world. Here it is. So then you sit down, you start having a conversation. And that very drop-dead gorgeous person starts talking nonsense. Their tongue is vile, and they're just spewing out all kinds of venom. Filthy language, dumb statements, disconnected conversations. You will notice that your desire for that person dies. It's no longer beautiful. So, but the person's face hasn't changed, the body hasn't changed, the look hasn't changed. It's as glowing as it was. And then the one you didn't like, starts talking and they're throwing gems at you. And you're like mesmerized by the words. You say, wow, who's this person? Suddenly you start to love that person. Notice the outward suddenly goes out the window, but we were so quick in exchanging it. Because the Prophet has said, the most beautiful thing a person possesses is intelligence. You can't take it away. Look, once that person has made that comment, I would be so impressed with that person. There is nothing that person can do unless they start acting foolish like the other person, which they won't. It just doesn't make sense. You'd say impossible. It's like a child couldn't give me the theory of relativity and then go back to his childishness. Either you're gonna give it to me and you're gonna have it forever, or you're not gonna have it. So a person who has intelligence, when they speak, that intelligence is so powerful, it's so beautiful. SubhanAllah, think about that. That when we look at it, we discount all other material looks completely, we throw it out. The attraction is towards intelligence. The Messenger said, the most beautiful thing a person possesses is intelligence. How many of us are working to polish it? We are so fooled by the mundane qualities of this world, in trying to, you know, polish the facade, just like that beautiful person that you walked in the room, we're all just trying to do that. The inside, no one cares. But guess what? If the inside is hollow, it's gonna make a lot of noise. It's just the way the world works. We're foolish. Honestly, the human race is a foolish race. As intelligent as we are, we have spent such, I mean, SubhanAllah, I did the math. I say, if a human being lives for 90 years, 30 years of the 90 years they've been sleeping. That's a third of their life. That's 30 years. Those of you who are less than 30 years, imagine, still, you're still sleeping. You haven't woken up yet. The other 30, you're busy earning a living, so you really don't have a personal time. 30 is your personal time. 1/3 of your life. And most people don't live to 90, 60. That's 20 years then. You got 20 years of your personal life. And if I ask you, in your 20 years, make a videotape of yourself and give me your most salient features of what was the most profound event in your life. Make a video for me, please. I would like to see what was the most profound thing in your life that changed you, the days when you had the greatest time and the days when you had the worst time. Put it on a videotape and give it to me. How long do you think it would be? I'm exaggerating, a couple of hundred hours? Is it worth 20 years times 365 times 24? That's a lot of numbers. And just a couple of hundred hours? That's it? Look at us. Look at the intelligence of man. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such finite time, and it is so small. I ask my young brothers especially, who are doubtful, go ask our older brothers and sisters, how old, how long have you lived in this world? Everyone will tell you, very short. My hair has grown gray. I was just young like you yesterday. Allah says, look how finite it is. Now in the broad span of my vision, in the mercy of God, it doesn't compute. Doesn't make sense. Oh Allah, you're so merciful. You shaped us. You gave us intelligence. You made us beautiful. And you made us full of desire for beautiful things. And just as I'm blooming to become a 20-year-old, and just as I'm beginning to go after this world, and I'm just indulging in this wonderful world that I'm having a great time in, you're going to take me away? Such that by the time I reach my peak in life in 40, and now I'm ready to settle down, you start taking my looks away from me? You start taking my agility away from me? You start making me remember my death? God, I'm just beginning. Allah is saying to me, I didn't create you for this world. قُلْ مَتَعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِّمَنِ اتَّقَى. This is the message in life, that this world has not been created for us to exist on for long. So in the vision of this great scope of why we exist, we must bring our boundaries using this analogy, that no matter what I talk about in here, whether I'm an atheist or I'm a polytheist or I'm a monotheist, whatever it is, it must be in this frame of time that I know I've got approximately 20 years of personal life to fulfill my obligations. Now look at the mercy of Allah. He created us. He gave us intelligence. But there is something He gave us which is the greatest gift. I mentioned aql, one, intelligence, very powerful. That's why it's so beautiful. And we all acknowledge it. We all recognize how beautiful it is, subhanAllah. You'll see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us another great honor. And that honor is the whole discussion we're having tonight. That honor is free will. Allah has granted us free will to choose our destiny. إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. We guided you to the right path, whether you are grateful or ungrateful. Free will. That means we have a choice. We choose our own destiny. It's upon us. Our destiny is in our hands. Now let me explain what free will is so we don't get confused. Free will is not total free will. We're not talking about total free will, where I can decide to not exist, or I can decide to change the shape of the earth, or I can decide to go back in time, or I can decide to create somebody, or I can decide to take somebody into non-existence. No. We don't have total free will. No being possesses total free will except the Creator, which is Allah. Nobody has total free will except God. Then you say, well, what about predestination? Didn't God predestine things? Didn't He decree things? Didn't He decide? I mean, it is God who decided my existence. It is God who created me. It is God who shaped me. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. He is the one who shapes me in the womb of our mothers the way He wills. Isn't that a decree? Isn't that predestined? Yes, it is. The earth being a sphere is predestined. The gravitational forces, all the forces of science, everything that exists in the universe is predestined. You say, well then, if that's everything's predestined, where's my free will? In predestination, there is free will. And let me draw the analogy, and then I won't discuss it too much, but hopefully I will introduce this subject. Imagine a big circle, and this circle means predestination. This is the dominion of God. And inside this big circle is a small circle called free will. And it floats inside predestination. It's another circle within the grander circle, meaning free will is not on its own. It's inside a bigger circle. So God has decreed free will. And free will is in my control, limited. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam solves this problem. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. People were thinking at that time, total predestination. You know, qada and qadr. People were saying that, yes, since God knows the future, he must have predestined everything. No, God's knowledge of the future has no direct correlation to predestination. I could know the future too. That doesn't mean I controlled it. Person can know the future, that doesn't mean they control it. Meteorologists know what's going to happen tonight or tomorrow for the weather pattern. No one says they controlled it. So knowledge of the future has no direct correlation to having intervened in it. Number one. Number two, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that time, I mean historically, let me go back to history, you find historically, what happened is people who use total predestination are really evildoers. Anyone who has ever proposed the idea of total predestination is an evildoer. The only reason they do that is in order to do their evils and not to be held liable for it. Because that's the only way you escape that notion. If I don't want to be held liable for my misdeeds, then what happens is that I bring in the notion of predestination. I say, God has decreed everything, so if nothing is in my control anyway. So if I do any evil, it's okay, I'm not liable for it. But notice a good doer will never accept that. Because a good doer always wants credit for themselves. They say, okay, as much as I don't deserve credit, but I did it willfully good. So what is there anything for me? Well, if something is predestined, then there should be nothing for you. It's like in an exam. A student who is a lousy student would love for the teacher, you see, for the teacher to give them all 100. Right? And say, it's okay, I'm giving you 100, everybody get out of class. They would love it, because they're cheaters. But a true student will say, no, I'm insulted. You must give me the exam. Don't give me the 100, you're insulting me. Don't do that. So notice now, human nature, that predestination was existing. Why? Because tyrants who came into power needed to validate the tyranny. And how do you do that? Historically, during the Romans, the Greeks, you go back in history, you'll see this was a common usage of common notions of predestination. In order to control the minds of people, you found that leaders would use this concept in order to control the minds of people. God decreed that I should be your king. And if I kill you, it's perfectly fine. God decreed it, so accept it. And people used to acquiesce. They used to subject themselves to all kinds of tyranny because they said, yeah, God decided. And this became prevalent even after the Prophet's departure, where people started believing in total predestination to the point where you found tyrants committing all kinds of vicious crimes. Even Yazid, when he massacred the messenger, the grandson of the Holy Prophet, Imam Hussein alayhi wasalam, you find that Ibn Ziyad is questioning Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam in Kufa, and he's asking him, what is your name? He says, Ali. He says, didn't God already kill Ali? Notice he's using predestination principles in claiming his legitimacy as a governor to have committed the most heinous crime in the history of the human race, to kill the Holy Prophet himself, because the Holy Prophet says, Hussein numinni wa ana min al Hussein, lahmuhum lahmi wa damuhum dami. Their blood is my blood, their flesh is my flesh. Ana harbun liman harabahum. I make war with whoever makes war with them. So the whole battle of Karbala was actually the Holy Prophet. But notice how they protected themselves in what way? By saying, well, God decreed this. The Kaaba was being burnt. Hussein bin Numair is burning the Kaaba in the time of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. He's burning the Kaaba. They're throwing hot fireballs on the Kaaba. They're burning it. The soldiers are crying. They said, yesterday our messenger purified this house. Yesterday, the most sacred house.
this Kaaba. Yesterday. And today we, the very people who under the garb of Islam are burning it, it doesn't make sense. And the soldiers would say, it's okay. God predestined it. If God didn't decide to have Yazid as our Khalifa, it wouldn't have happened. So it's okay, burn it. Notice the absurdity of what happens to humanity when we bring in the notion of predestination. It becomes disastrous. And this was the problem. So if we continue further on this, you find this free will is the greatest gift Allah has given us. So let's come to reconciliation very clearly that Allah has predestined and decreed our existence, no doubt. But within it, He's given us free will. That's why this ayah that I recited in Surah Al-Ra'd, Allah says, "Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bianfusihim." Allah does not change the affairs of a community until they change it themselves first, meaning Allah is saying to me and you, you have autonomy here. But brothers and sisters, I must stress again, the greatest gift besides intellect and existence that Allah has given us is this power of autonomy, free will. Why? Why is it so great? Because imagine someone thinks of you capable of representing them. Imagine you're in a team. You know, you play cricket in London. You play soccer. Imagine you're on a soccer team and your captain calls you, says, come. You're sitting on the bench, says, come. Says, we've got 5 more minutes to finish this game. We're losing. Go and win for us. How would you feel? You'd feel greatly honored. You would say, wow, the captain thinks me worthy to represent my whole team? Isn't that what, if you ever look at the sports players, you find they're just eager to be called by their captains because they want representation. They love to represent their teams. They feel honored. Notice that autonomy, to be chosen. Well, Allah has chosen all of us, the entire human race. With قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. Here, Khalifa has many meanings. We all human beings are also Khalifatullah. We are all representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each and every one of us. That means Allah considers me worthy of representing Him. أَلَمْ أَحَدِ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَنْ لَا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. God is sending me as an ambassador on earth, and He says, I'm making you represent me, and I'm telling you, don't obey Shaitan. He's going to destroy you, but you represent me. I created you. And when you come to me, you are representing me. You are standing firm, as Allah says in the Quran, وَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. Allahu Akbar, how beautiful. Keep your faces. فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي, he said, وَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. Stand upright in this upright religion. Hold your face in the right direction. وَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. This is a religion that doesn't change. It's fixed. فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. It's designed, it's fixed, the laws are fixed, the decree has been set. You have to recognize it and move towards it. This power of free will, brothers and sisters, even if we're not believers in God, I must say that the mere fact of existing and representing a moral pathway to do good in this world is a great honor to exist. Look at what the Quran says. He says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best in the community. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ. Who is Allah talking to? He's talking to the believers here. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best in the community. Who are you? That's us. And when I say us here, let me make a very clear distinction. We're Muslims, but even if this room was filled with non-Muslims, I'd still say us. Because we are humans, we are servants of God. Even if we're Christians, atheists, Jews, doesn't matter. We are a human race endowed with intellect, given free will. This gift is incomprehensible. And if you and I don't take that to account, we will never achieve our 20 years of life. I'm using the 20-year analogy of really meaningful time. We won't achieve it. Our autonomy is the best gift. God considers me worthy Do you know, you understand that? Look, when I read the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to Maryam alayhi salam, when he's talking to him, or when Isa alayhi salam is talking to him, you know, فَنَادَى مِنْهَا تَحْتِهَا أَنْ لَا تَحَزَنِي قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to her through Isa alayhi salam, for example. You know, يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اسْتَفَاكِ وَتَّحَرَكِ. Oh, Maryam, we purify. God is talking to Maryam. You know how important that is? When Allah says in the Quran, it is not for God to talk directly to his creation. He is too great to talk to us directly. Though, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. God is closer to us than our jugular veins. And he talks to us other ways. But the direct communication, like he spoke to Musa, يَا مُوسَى إِنَّهُ عَنَ اللَّهِ. My God, it makes our skin shudder. God, you're talking to me? You know, often I give you a simple example. As a public speaker, sometimes when I'm in a public place or if I'm conducting a program and I mention a brother, says, you know, let's say there's a brother, his name is Hassan. I said, Hassan here. You should see Hassan is beaming. Why? Because I called him by his name. I addressed him. Wow, in this crowd, you address me. I'm important. Notice, I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. And I addressed you in public. You felt so good. Imagine the creator of the universe. Imagine Fatir al-Samawati wal-Ard, the owner of the universe is talking to you and me. Imagine that. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking to us and choosing us just by our existence. It's a huge gift. This autonomy, brothers and sisters, we must never take, we must not shortchange. Another example I give, teenagers. You know, when kids are growing up, 10, 12 years old, they're constantly subjected to guidance, protection. You can't go outside the house. You know, where are you going? Even in school, you can't leave your classroom without a pass. You know, you need a monitor who keeps an eye on you. But when you go to university, you're independent. You can go to class, you can leave class, you can do whatever you want, right? You ever notice, even in England, I'm sure, let's say if you can acquire your license, driving license, at 16, for example, on the 16th birthday, the child is already at the motor vehicle department trying to get their license. They don't wait one day. Like, well, how about one more day? You know, your birthday is today, tomorrow you'll go pick up your license. No, I want it today. Why? Because the need to be autonomous, the need to get into a car, and dad gives you the key and says, go on your own. On my own? I can drive on my own? Yeah. It is the greatest feeling. Ask any human being. If there is one thing that we all love, it's our autonomy, our free will. I'll give you another example. Imagine I, as a lecturer, come to you, and I'm appearing holy, and you know, God is talking to me, and I have a halo on my head. You people, you're all horrible, you're going to hell, and you go, you're bad, you're terrible. What will happen to you? You'll say, hey, take it easy. Don't shove religion down my throat. I don't need you. Notice, what am I doing? I'm insulting your autonomy. I'm insulting your free will. If I insist that you better accept it or else, you said, stop. Especially in the West. In the East, we used to say, yes, sir. Whatever's given, take it, right? The person says, walk this way. Okay, go that way, we go. In the Western world, the child would say, why should I? Who are you? You know, or get lost. Why? Because we have this feeling of autonomy and freedom, these notions of freedom. But the point is, at the end of the day, though, we do love and we cherish that. And even as public speakers, we have to respect that. We have to honor that. So let me conclude in my summary that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this free will, has granted us intellect, he has granted us existence. These are extremely essential components to understand the entire gift and mercy of God. And we have perspectives in life, and I'll speak further on this tomorrow, that I can look at this world in various ways. And the biggest problem in the world today is people, because they've had bad experiences, they tend to look at the world from a different set of lenses. And that's common. Humans are a product of their experiences. Even great scholars who've written fatawa, rules of Sharia, that they have dictated, that they have deciphered from the laws of God, they have changed their positions after they experienced something else. The same law, but the law of interpretation has a direct correlation to the level of experience. And the most important thing is for us to immunize ourselves with this rational thinking, that no matter what experience I have, I will use it to guide me, not to misguide me. And experience means that when we experience it, I can see the world through a lens of very positive thinking, or I can see the lens through very negative thinking. Unfortunately, because there is so much evil in the world, there is so much injustice in the world, there's so much disconnection in terms of people's spirits, that we tend to spiral negatively. Hence, a lot of our youth in our communities today are spiritless. Prayer is hard. Hijab is a task. Speaking about Quran or Allah is a difficult task. Believing in God is very difficult. Look at our academic institutions. How much do they encourage belief in God? Unless you take a class that's talking about God, you rarely hear His name. We're a spiritless society, honestly. And Ramadan is a gift of God to bring us back to that spirituality. Quran is full of spirit. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. What we have revealed in this Quran is an intercessor, and it's a rahmah. It induces your spirituality. But my spirits will not work. You know, there are people who go and do tasbih, Allahu Akbar, Allahumma salli ala, yes, Ya Rabbi. But in the back of their mind, they say, I don't know. I don't know if He's out there. Is He really out there? I mean, I see so much injustice. Is He really out there? Those aspects need to be eradicated. And it's sometimes a lifelong pursuit. And that's okay. But we have to have these kinds of gatherings and discussions. And when we go home, we must reflect. When we're with our friends, we must discuss these issues. Let's not fill the 20 years with mundane talk. It's too short a period to waste time on this earth. May Allah grant us the tawfiq, inshallah, and I'll discuss this further tomorrow, on salient features of the Quran that are so magnificent, that when we touch it and how the Quran talks about Yusuf, about Maryam, about Zakaria, about Yahya, you know, about Ashab al-Kahf, the youth who went to sleep in the cave. What's the moral behind that story? Why is Allah telling me this? When you put them together, you find they're conforming, they flow in this magnificent vision that God is drawing for us and says, understand this, this is your mission in life. If you see it any other way, and if you move away, you will lose. 100%, I say it with confidence, we will lose it. If we lose this pathway, trust me, we will get lost in this vast jungle. Let us please make some effort in this month of Ramadan while fasting. What a gift of Allah. They say when you fast, the devils are in chains. It's not physical, by the way, it's metaphorical. It's a metaphor. When I fast, meaning shaitan cannot trouble me. He's not in a bar, in behind bars and in chains, and he's being dragged by angels. No, no, no. Iblis is among us. He's everywhere. But he can't touch me as much because I'm more aware. Fasting increases my sense of awareness. Notice, where is awareness going towards? Intelligence, subhanAllah. When you become aware, your intelligence becomes alive and your beauty starts to show and shaitan can't touch you. May Allah give us a tawfiq that while we are here in this month of Ramadan, each year we ask Allah, oh Allah, increase my spirit, make it stronger. Make me confident. Let me sit somewhere and let me be happy. And if death meets me, let me meet it with a smile. Can I do that? Yeah, we can. It takes effort though. That's where the free will comes in. And that's the beauty. You and I have to do it upon ourselves. It doesn't come for free. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم وآخر الدعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.